This Marketplace podcast is supported by Invest Puerto Rico. What's next in innovation? That's not the right question. It's where. Puerto Rico, more than just a tropical paradise, it's innovation's paradise, where startups and global players coexist in a vast and vibrant ecosystem, where talent runs deep, highly skilled, and bilingual. Plus, the island offers the most competitive tax incentives in the U.S. If you believe your business can go anywhere, Puerto Rico is the place. Find out more at investpr.org/marketplace. Again, that address is investpr.org/marketplace.
The federal government has reportedly figured out how to cut off food stamps to more than 3 million people. I'm David Brancaccio in New York. Both houses of Congress have reached a compromise, and President Trump said he will sign a budget deal that increases federal spending by $320 billion. It also removes the federal debt ceiling, at least through the next presidential election cycle. This means government borrowing, already all the rage among many Republicans and Democrats, becomes even easier. Separately, the executive branch today is unveiling a new approach to cutting federal spending by effectively making fewer low-income people eligible for food stamps. Specifically, the proposed rules would change the way individual states decide who's eligible for the Supplemental Nutrition Assistance Program, or SNAP. The net effect is, if this goes through, 3 million people would no longer be eligible. Marketplace's Justin Ho is following this. Justin?
Yeah, food stamps are a federal program, but the states handle the details and ultimately figure out who's eligible. Right now, states are allowed to automatically enroll people in food stamps if they're also eligible for other federal aid programs, like temporary assistance for needy families, which helps families with children. And some of those programs have slightly higher income eligibility limits than the federal limit for food stamps. So this new rule would cut back on states' abilities to use those other programs to sign people up for food stamps, making it harder to qualify.
What is the Trump administration's argument for changing this policy?
Well, there's two points, really. One is savings. The USDA says 3 million fewer people on food stamps would save the government about $2.5 billion a year. The administration's also pushing this fairness point. Agriculture Secretary Sonny Perdue was on a call yesterday using words like loophole and abuse to describe how states use the system. And critics say this will hurt working families and seniors in that it could encourage people to save less or work less to qualify. The details of this are expected later today and wouldn't go into effect for at least 2 months.
All right. Marketplace's Justin Ho, thank you very much. Checking the numbers, Dow and S&P futures at this juncture are each up about 0.3%. The NASDAQ future at last check up 0.4%. Hong Kong closed up 0.3%. The DAX in Germany is up 1.5%. Among corporate profit reports due later this morning, Harley Davidson. With sales drooping in the U.S., Harley is working on an all-electric motorcycle, which will be quiet and expensive. Here's Marketplace's Jack Stewart.
Falling demand in the U.S. is pushing Harley-Davidson to try something new. This is a video promoting the battery-powered electric Livewire, which has some classic Harley styling, but a radically quieter sound. The company says it'll do 146 miles on a charge, but it does cost a hefty $30,000.
What they're trying to do is definitely become the Tesla of motorcycles.
Joe Altobello is an analyst at financial services company Raymond James.
I give them credit for trying new things and trying to spur demand in terms of smaller bikes, electric bikes.
The Livewire will come with a limited amount of free charging using one of the same networks being built for electric cars. But Carl Brower at Auto Trader and a motorcycle enthusiast says he can't see it being a bike for that long road trip.
The idea that you would make an electric motorcycle for anything more than urban commuting doesn't really work for what I think most people want to do on a motorcycle.
Harley-Davidson will be hoping it'll help them appeal to new, younger riders. I'm Jack Stewart for Marketplace.
Now to new proof of American genius, the clever devils who've devised a way to add value to an ice cube. If you follow at Marketplace on Twitter, we have a video so you can see with your own eyes about the ice cube. And now here's Marketplace's Sasha Woodruff on that fancy ice cube used in pricey cocktails.
Back in the day, if you ordered a Harvey Wallbanger or a Long Island iced tea, Nobody cared how the ice cubes looked. Jim Meehan is a former bartender and author of multiple books on cocktails.
Ice was just a utilitarian thing. It was frozen water that was used to keep drinks cold.
And that frozen water was usually cloudy, full of impurities and air bubbles. Then around the turn of the century, the cocktail renaissance began. Bars threw out pre-made mixes and started using fresh juices and top-shelf spirits. Then about 10 years ago, crystal clear ice started to appear in cocktails. The ice is frozen using a special technique that makes it perfectly transparent, not cloudy like the cubes from your home freezer. Meehan was running a bar in New York at the time and was skeptical.
I believe the original costing on this ice was around 75 cents a cube, which is a pretty considerable cost per drink.
But now bars are spending the money and training their staffs to make and hand-carve clear ice.
Okay, so the rhythm is... There we go.
Tony Gonzalez explains to fellow bartenders the ice cube is just as important as the spirits and ingredients they put in drinks.
If you're going to spend anywhere from $12 to $16 to $25 on a cocktail, you want it to be like a Cadillac of a cocktail, right?
Food writer Simran Sethi is not convinced.
I can't quite comprehend the depth of beauty that we now require in the ice in our cocktail. It just sounds preposterous to me.
But at the District Bar in downtown Los Angeles, where Tony Gonzalez is head bartender, customer Michelle Fryer was wowed by the clear ice cube in her drink.
Yeah, see? Oh my God, it's beautiful!
So she took out her phone to photograph it. Author Jim Meehan says if clients post images like that on social media, the bar gets an extra marketing boost.
Many of the drinkers who go into these bars are taking pictures of their drink way before they put it near their mouth.
Meehan says clear ice delivery services are growing across the country, and he doesn't see this fad melting away anytime soon. I'm Sasha Woodruff for Marketplace.
And our interview yesterday about professionals who make a living managing Dungeons & Dragons sessions seems to have resonated online, where you can still click on the piece at marketplace.org via Facebook. Ashin Fanzi was pleased to see someone figured out how to monetize her entire youth, she wrote. Yasin Proibish via Facebook wondered if all that hard work and study about game mechanics and world building might have been focused on something more practical. In New York, I'm David Brancaccio with the Marketplace Morning Report. From APM, American Public Media.
The world can be a confusing place for kids, and finding the words to explain it all can be tricky, too. Introducing Million Bazillion, a Webby-winning podcast from Marketplace that takes your kids on exciting adventures to answer the awkward and complex questions they have about money. Each week, we tackle hard-hitting inquiries from kid listeners like,
what is a college account and how does it work?
I want to know what unions are and what they are for.
Why does the U.S. have so much gold in Fort Knox and what do they use it for?
Help your kids understand how money fits into the world around us. Listen to Million Bazillion wherever you get your podcasts.